Well, we're at 11:14, crossing over to 11:15. That means it's time for Mabel Louise to join us here on
Thursday.
Good
morning. It is a good morning, and I hope you are having a good day. Perhaps you're asking, Mabel Louise, why do you consider on the air as having a good day? Well, my idea of a good day is to be able to get up in the morning, have a good breakfast, get dressed, and head for the WWIB studios and share God's word with you. And that's what's been happening for many years. And guess what? I just love it. We have the best listeners in the whole wide world, and that means you. All of you have been so faithful to pray for us and to help us financially. We are so grateful to you and grateful for your faithfulness and the letters you sent in and allowing us to take part in your prayer requests. That's such an honor. Thank you so much for all of it. And I guess I have to say, thank you so much for Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Well, I'm in the midst of a New Testament parables. Yes, there are lots of them. Did you know that the Old Testament has 58 and the New Testament has 55 parables? That gives us a total, if I'm correct mathematically, a total of 113. Now, that's a lot. So, I have the leeway to choose whichever one I like to bring to you. And by the way, the New Testament was divided between only Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Luke has 24, Matthew has 23, and Mark has 8. So I'm privileged to be able to open my Bible and talk to you and read the scriptures to you. What an honor. Well, Jesus actually started his ministry with regular teaching and preaching. And since he is all-knowing, he knows the thoughts and the intents of all of our hearts, he could see that many of the people that were coming out to hear him and to be with him were coming out of curiosity. Well, some came just to see his miracles, some to find out who he really was, and some to be critical, and oh my goodness, some to even want to kill him. But thank the Lord, there were some who were searching for God, looking for the Messiah, and they did believe, because he had many followers. So I have already covered the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed. And now today, I want to go to Luke chapter 18 and visit with you concerning the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And some of the Bibles have it listed as the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Okay? And remember now, he knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so Jesus was well aware what each one was thinking when they came to hear him. So first, let me start out by saying that this parable is sandwiched in between the parable of the unjust judge and Jesus blessing the little children. You see, prayer is the subject leading up to the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The parable of the unjust judge is about a widow who had a dire need, and she wanted to meet with the ungodly judge to have some help. But he refused, and she, because of her persistence, She kept going back and back and back and asking him to help her. So she was persistent, and she made her way into his office, and finally he gave up and said, "I can't get rid of her any other way." No, that's not the scriptures. The lesson was to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking in prayer. Don't give up. And let me remind you, the Lord always answers prayer. Yes, he does. He answers yes, no, wait a while, or just leave it up to me. Just trust me. Don't try to figure it out. Well, now the parable, of the Pharisee and the publican shows the relationship of prayer to righteousness. Jesus gave this teaching in order to correct wrong views of this relationship. The Pharisees looked upon prayer as gaining good points, and this would entitle them to righteous standing before God. You see, they trusted in outward religious performances for righteousness. So they were trying to work their way. And there are only 6 verses in this parable. Let me read it to you right quick. So my Bible is open right in front of me, and I'm going to read verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. He said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not a robber, a evildoer, I'm not an adulterer, or I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. And he beat his breast and said, "Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus went on and said, "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." In other words, he went to heaven justified. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So that is the parable. What does it mean when you read the Pharisee? Well, the word itself comes from a Hebrew word meaning to set apart or to separate. The Pharisees were a sect of the Jews. Yes, they believed in God, but they also believed that they operated according to their works or their actions. In other words, your rewards, punishments, were all based on what your works included. And then they added their own rules and regulations to the law and seemed to think that they were really holier than most people. And it was because of all of the legal rules they thought of. I read somewhere where they had over 613 rules and regulations. Oh, my goodness. They prided themselves on following what they said to be the letter of the law, and to think this made them better than those who ever disagreed with them. Okay, so now let's talk about who were the publicans or the tax collectors. They were not the most popular people in town because they were said to cheat the people by overcharging or extorting money from them. And because of that, they were regarded with disgust and contempt. The truth is that they worked closely with the so-called heathen Romans, which made them even more hated in the eyes of the Pharisees. You see, what they did was they charged what the Roman government required, and then they added a percentage more for themselves. Uh-oh. Well, Matthew introduces the parable by stating, Jesus told this story to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous and that they were upright and in right standing with God. And they scorned and made nothing of all the rest of the men. In other words, if you were not a Pharisee, you were considered as nothing. I read in the Bible Manners and Living book that the Pharisee had a street corner in the marketplace. You see, every town had its marketplace, and people didn't have refrigeration. So they would go to the marketplace every morning and get food for the day. And, of course, it was a very popular place. In fact, everybody in town went there. So they proceeded to fix up a place and made a real deal or show place of some place spot in the market and on the street corner. And they would stand in their robes and they would pray out loud so that they could be seen and could be heard in public. So here again, we see the Pharisees up in front at the temple praying so all could see him and all could hear him. Well, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. He prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of the men. Extortioners or robbers, swindlers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector who's standing here. And no doubt the Pharisees see the publican enter the temple, and he starts his prayer thanking God he is not like him. Now that's what you call pride, isn't it? He's looking at this poor fellow tax collector and pointing out his faults and thanking God that he's not following in his steps. So I would say that it's somewhat typical human nature, wouldn't you, to think, yes, we're better than others, maybe because of our actions, and instead of recognizing, really, we are all born in sin. That's what the Bible says, and every one of us know it if we were willing to recognize it. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, there is none righteous, no, not one. Even the Pharisee, right? Well, then in the next verse, he begins to point out all the good points that he has. He said, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I gain. And early in the book of Matthew, Jesus himself rebukes those who were fasting because they wanted to be seen of men. He said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they even disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Heavenly Father, who sees you in secret, but rewards you openly. So that gives us a picture of what is going on in this parable. Verse 13 of that chapter 18, the tax collector, merely standing at a distance, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he kept striking his breast, saying, "Oh God, be favorable or be gracious, be merciful to me, especially the wicked sinner that I am." Note the difference in the attitude of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee proves to be self-righteous, merciless worshipers of the law and tax collectors, presents the humiliated lawbreaker. We have to smile because, if we're honest, we realize that both are sinners. Now let me close with the lesson of the parable. What's the purpose? It was to expose those who trusted in themselves that they were very righteous and pure, and who even went so far as to despise others. That word despise means to count as nothing. Jesus wanted to rebuke this self-righteous loathing. Not only do the self-righteous think they are safe from God's judgment, but they look down on others as not being righteous, as they are, but also that they are doomed for judgment. I'm reminded as I close of the verse found over in Titus 3, 5, and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And note this, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, the Bible makes it clear that when we serve Jesus, we serve him because we love him. We appreciate him, and we're so grateful for what he did for us by dying on the cross and giving us that blessed hope of heaven. It's not being seen of men. You see, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The truth is that the only way we can get to heaven is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior, and certainly not on any merit of our own. As we repent of our sins, as that humble publican, yes, we have the hope of heaven. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you. Bye-bye.